Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Okay, real talk. How many of you really actually thought about Juneteenth before this year? In some parts of the country, it's a really big deal and has been a big deal. Not so in others. This new interest in the anniversary day of enslaved people in Texas learning they were free is both exciting, but also a little, I don't know exactly what. Is it, for some people, kind of performative? Well-intentioned, but I mean, have you ever seen that episode of Donald Glover's Atlanta when this white guy who's married to a black woman throws a giant Juneteenth party? It goes how you think it goes. Maybe if we really sit down and think about what the holiday is, rather than simply posting on Instagram, it will have some long-term meaning. To help us with some historical context is Fabiola Sinias. She covers race for Fox, and she wrote a piece called Juneteenth Explained. Fabiola, welcome to All of It.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Of course. Listeners, let's get you in on the conversation. Team All of It. Have you observed Juneteenth before in the past? Tell us what you've done. What do you think about the idea of making it a federal holiday? Are you concerned it might become commercialized? Or are you just happy to see it celebrated? Our number 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC, or if you want to remain anonymous, you can always send me an Instagram message at All of It WNYC. I have my messages opened. Okay, so Fabiola, let's do a history lesson. Where and when was the proclamation given to enslaved people that they were no longer in bondage?
Yeah, so it was given to the enslaved people in 1865, and of course the date was June 19th, so that's where Juneteenth comes from. And it was given in Galveston, Texas. And so Major General Gordon Granger showed up with 2,000 troops and delivered General Order Number 3 in Texas, basically proclaiming emancipation.
So this is, everybody who knows history knows, this happened 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Why did it take 2 years?
Exactly. And it's really just so sad to hear and just disheartening to understand that more than 2 years, right, after Abraham Lincoln basically gave the Emancipation Proclamation is when these slaves were finding out. And it was because they were in the deepest reaches of the Confederacy, right? Southern whites, they had incentives to kind of keep that news for themselves. They wanted to maintain their economy. And so, right, of course, the enslaved people in Texas, right, 250,000 of them would not learn this news until Union troops actually showed up to basically give this news. And so still, and even after the order was given, folks were still coming to terms with the fact that this was the new reality. Even though it was given on paper, the reality was different.
Our number 646-435-7280. Oh, I can see the phone lines going now. 646-435-7280. Have you observed Juneteenth in the past? What have you done? How do you think the idea, what do you think about the idea of making it a holiday? How are you feeling about it this year in particular? 646-435-7280. So in your piece, I took this from your piece, you included the exact wording of what was said.
Yes.
So I'm going to read it. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, quote, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed they will not be allowed to collect military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere. So we talked a little bit about how slowly emancipation was before. When you think about what was said and what happened after, what was your analysis?
Yeah, I think even looking at those last few sentences of the order, basically saying freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They're informed that they're not to be allowed to collect at military posts. That's kind of strange language, right? Like, yes, here we are celebrating that these enslaved people are now free, but there's this, like, just still a sad feeling of just, like, enslaved people, you know, formerly enslaved people, you're on your own right now. You need to kind of collect your things, kind of, or, but also stay where you are and just kind of, you're on your own, essentially. And so I think while folks, you know, that night were able to celebrate it and be happy about it, there was just still a sense of, where do we go from here? How do we move forward? And so that's why in the piece I talk about the period of Reconstruction. It's just a time when people had to kind of, yes, reflect on the fact that they, you know, made progress, reflect on the fact that they were no longer enslaved, but also think about how do we begin to have power in the political system and begin to acquire wealth and gain things for themselves. So that was a very, very slow and failed journey, sadly.
Let's go to line one. Kira is calling us from Westchester. Kira, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And thanks for addressing this topic. As I was telling the screener, I am actually quite happy that this issue has come up this year because, you know, when I was in school, the way that slavery in general was talked about as a triangle trade and things were very selective, I simply did not know my history. I did not understand what this date actually meant to the fact that it came years after the actual Emancipation Proclamation. And I think that if I feel that way as a New Yorker, then we also have to think about the people who have lived, especially in the South, but just in areas where, you know, that information is even more distorted, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thrilled that the topic has come up in the way it has, that it has put people on the spot, and it has been a teachable moment for those of us who have grown up assuming that our history is one thing, and in reality, it's not. It's, you know, that there are so many things that are overlooked, so we have to understand these things so that we can understand our own history and so that we can actually start building some bridges with people
each
who
other.
Feel very strong about it.
Kira, thank you so much for calling in. Our number is 646-435-7280. How are you feeling about Juneteenth this year? My guest is Fabiola Sinias. She wrote a great piece for Vox called Juneteenth Explained. So you started to talk about Reconstruction a little bit. What were some of the, you can talk about the high points of Reconstruction and the low points which led to the redemption. What were some of the high points of Reconstruction after Juneteenth?
Yeah, I think some of the high points were trying to, Southern states basically trying to recognize the way forward, right, was to basically have governments that were led by Black people, right? So putting Black people directly into positions of power. But as I kind of recount in the piece, there were so many efforts basically to disenfranchise Black people, right? So many ways to get them to not vote. So many ways to say, hey, you can't take part in this process because you can't read. And so just so many efforts that were put in place were just quickly pulled back by basically white supremacists who were interested in establishing and continuing to keep whiteness as the rule of law, essentially.
Let's go to line three. David is calling us from Brooklyn. Hi, David. Thanks for calling All of It. Hi, David. There you are. You're on the air now. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Of course. So tell us a little bit about your experience with Juneteenth.
Well, I guess when I called, the question you were posing was about, like, people kind of learning about the holiday now and posting about it on Instagram. And I guess I felt like I was in a unique position because I'm a white man, I'm a musician, and I've been playing in a Black church for over 10 years every week. And so I've been, I knew of Juneteenth long before it became a hot topic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just was feeling like as a white person, I always felt like it's my place to support my black peers in celebrating the holiday, but it's not really my holiday to celebrate.
It's interesting.
If that makes sense.
No, it does, and it's really interesting. David, thank you so much for calling in. That's a really interesting point, Fabio, that he, you know, is saying like maybe for some people it should be a holiday to observe and to not to necessarily celebrate. That's interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, right? Because I think or what we're seeing happening and why so many people don't know about Juneteenth, and as the previous caller expressed, is just that this is something that's not taught in schools. I used to be a teacher. I would teach, like, you know, slave narratives of, for example, like Harriet Jacobs, but talking about Juneteenth, albeit a small moment, but a big impactful moment, is just something that's not taught. And so I think in terms of just do we celebrate it or do we mourn it, yeah, I can totally understand the perspective of like, hey, maybe this isn't something we should be celebrating. What we should be coming to terms with, right, is just how slavery, for example, still impacts so much today, still contributes to so many disparities. That so much disparity that we see across America. And so, yeah, while we celebrate, it's also a time of mourning of just like, wow, there were so many enslaved people who had not learned of their emancipation until 2.5 years later. And that's very tragic.
Let's go to line two. Christina is calling from the Bronx. Hi, Christina. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I just wanted to say that the City University of New York is observing Juneteenth as an official, well, official for the university holiday, based on the Cuomo's declaration that it was a holiday for state employees. I think at this point it's probably mostly symbolic, since it's Friday and it's June. I don't know if there would have been any classes or anything scheduled today anyway, but it is sort of encouraging just that, like, New York is not waiting for this to be a national thing or a thing in any other state. We're just like, nope. It's a thing. It's official here.
Christina, thank you so much for calling in. So, Fabiola, in your research, how are the states in the United States celebrating Juneteenth? We know Texas has it as a holiday.
Yeah.
But is it any place else officially a holiday?
Yeah. So there, the states are in just completely different levels with this. There are a lot of reports that are basically saying there are all but three states kind of recognize it, and those three states that don't have, like, you know, a recognition or an observance, and those are Hawaii, North Dakota, and South Dakota. I'm putting them on the spot. But, yeah, most states have, at this point, basically recognized Juneteenth. They've observed it. But many of them haven't really, like, established Juneteenth as a state holiday legally. And so we're seeing, right, states like New York, where Cuomo is saying, hey, we're going to move to make this a legal state holiday. And so that's going to take some time. But all but three states have some form of, like, recognition or resolution that recognizes and observes Juneteenth.
And I guess de Blasio, he's a Cuomo, so de Blasio has announced New York will observe Juneteenth officially next year.
Yeah.
You know, I was referencing that Atlanta episode of, which is cringe-tastic. Of an interracial couple where the husband throws this enormous Juneteenth party every year and is really trying hard, too hard, maybe overstepping in a lot of ways. You know, there is that kind of conversation about Juneteenth this year where people are saying, well, we've been talking about this forever, and now everybody's getting on board. When you think about that, especially in this moment, and you're someone who you cover race for Vox, that it's complex, you know, it's hard to think like, yes, it's great, but at the same time, is it going to become commodified? Is it going to become another day people take off?
Right. Yeah, I think it's definitely a big worry. I think one of the scariest things that's a part of this is, for example, right, we have President Donald Trump, who this week in an interview said he popularized Juneteenth, that, right, his decision to put his Tulsa rally on Juneteenth initially was, because I did that, you know, that brought so much attention to this holiday. And he just, right, assumed that no one had heard of it, but it's sad because that clearly just shows you how Juneteenth is still viewed as just like a black thing. Oh, that's something that black people do. But now that we're seeing, I think, the side of companies and corporations saying, hey, this is a paid holiday internally, it's a little scary, right? Because it's like, sure, at the same time, let's do this symbolic thing, but also what steps are you taking to level the playing field for your black employees? The NFL, right? They are among the companies that said that they were recognizing Juneteenth as a company holiday. But what is the NFL actually doing to end systemic racism and violence against Black people? So I think, sure, let's do these symbolic things, but also let's release data. Let's release information that shows what actual tangible steps are being taken by these people, by these organizations, in order to end systemic racism.
And let's check in one more call. Line one, Lucy is calling us from Hastings on Hudson. Hi, Lucy. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a great discussion. And I just came in late, but I did hear the young man who played in the Black church, and he didn't feel like it was his celebration to celebrate. At least that's what I understood. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to tell you my story at the grocery store this morning. I was checking out, and the checkout person was probably like a 17-year-old Black, I'm going to call him boy, I'm 58, so he was these little child to me, and his age, I think, is important, and I said, Happy Juneteenth, and he said, Happy Juneteenth to you, like the most normal thing ever, like 4th of July, and I said, so what are you going to do? And he goes, well, I'm going up to my uncle's, we're all going up there to Connecticut for a picnic, and then he said, what are you going to do? And I was just the most natural question. Like, he wasn't setting me up at all. Like, he just assumed I had some Juneteenth plans. And I realized, wow, I got to get some Juneteenth plans. Besides, you know, I've already given money and I've, you know, been thoughtful and conscious, but I'm going to have a barbecue. So
all right.
I'm going to celebrate. I hope that's okay. He just thought it was the most normal thing on earth that this white lady was going to celebrate Juneteenth. So I'm going to do it.
There's something hopeful in that. Lucy, thank you so much for calling in. Fabiola, before I let you go, is there anything else about Juneteenth you think the audience should think about or know?
I think folks just should recognize Juneteenth and just the greater recognition that it's getting now. Just recognize it in the context of people's, you know, journey to become anti-racist. And I think Juneteenth, again, should be viewed as a holiday that forces America at large to confront the ills of slavery and confront just how slavery really still impacts all of our lives today. But yes, celebrate, but also read and get educated.
Fabiola Lucinius covers race for Vox. You should definitely follow her on Twitter. She does some really great work. Fabiola, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.